my text or the verses of Scripture that I wish to preach from this evening are found in verse 34 and 35 of 1 Samuel 17. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him." These words that I have just read to you from Scripture form part of David's plea to King Saul in order that he might be sent down into the valley of Elah to fight the Philistine of Gath Goliath. Saul, of course, did not think that David could defeat Saul. He expresses that in a few verses earlier. In fact, verse 33, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine." Saul is not convinced that David will be able to overcome him. And with those words is dissuading him and not allowing him to go down into the valley to fight Goliath. And so David utters these words confidently before Saul, that Saul might allow him to go down and take on the Philistine champion Goliath. David had been sent to the battlefield by his father to bring supplies to Israel's army. David was just a lad of around 17 years of age. He was in that transitional period between boyhood and manhood. And he comes down, sent by his father with supplies to the army. And as he travels to the camp of Israel's armies, he heard the defiance of Goliath. You'll see what he heard there in verse 10. Look at that verse. "The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And of course, Goliath was confident that if Israel sent one man into the valley of Elah to fight with him, that because of his size, because of his strength, because of his skill as a soldier, he would defeat that man and Israel would become the servants of the Philistines. But when David heard those words, he was grieved. Look at verse 23. "As he talked with them," that's the Philistine, that's David. "As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and speak according to the same words, and David heard them." When David heard the defiance of Goliath, and he heard the challenge, and then he looked around, and he saw the response of Israel, and how they ran and hid in their tents, he was grieved. He was grieved at the blasphemy of the enemy. He wasn't just defying Israel. He was challenging and defying the very God of heaven. He was waving the arms of rebellion in the face of God. David was burdened at the boldness, or he was grieved at the boldness of the enemy. How bold and brazen he was before the people of God. And of course, he was grieved at the burden it was upon Israel, how they fled before Goliath and were fearful of him, as verse 24 tells us. "All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid." The people of God were stricken with fear, and they fled from before him. not wanting to take on the enemies of God. There's a lesson for the child of God. Oh, that the Lord would give us such courage, such faith, such confidence in God that David had. For David was incensed and he was determined to do something in the face of an enemy who was confident and who was challenging Israel and who was seeking to put down the cause of the Lord. David was determined to do something. He cried, "Is there not a cause?" And though his motives were questioned by his brother, that's often the way when a man or a woman seeks to do something for the cause of God. Their motives can be questioned. Eliab said, "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. These are just vain, boastful words. You only want to see the battle. Go home." But David had faith in the Lord and he determined if no one else would go, if no one else would take up the challenge, that he would go and that he would fight this Philistine and the Lord would give him in to his hand. There's a lesson there for each Christian. If no one else will be a witness for Christ in the family, if no one else will be a witness for Christ in the workplace, if no one else will be a witness for Christ in the community, if no one else will offer themselves to the cause of God in missionary service or to preach the word, well, you can offer yourself. And the Lord is looking for Davids in this generation that will say, "Is there not a cause?" Word of David's desire and his willingness soon came to Saul. And Saul called David before him. And of course Saul was unconvinced as he looked upon David, the young shepherd boy. And so he utters those words in verse 33, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him." Verse 34 and 35 records David's response. He tells of this incident when, as a teenager keeping his father's sheep, that a lion and a bear appeared out of, whether it was undergrowth or whether it was from behind the rocks or from the mountainside, and came down. And of course they isolated the lamb, and the lamb was taken by the lion, and David went to rescue the lamb from the lion. And he's confident that if the Lord gave the lion and the bear into his hand, and he was able by the power of God to slay and smite the lion and the bear, then the Lord would do the same with the Philistine, and the Lord would give the giant into his hand also. While there are lessons in relation to faith, there are lessons in relation to the power of God working through his people. While there are lessons for Christian service for the believer, yet I put it to you in this little scene where the lamb was rescued and delivered from the lion, there is also the picture of the work of Christ in the gospel for his people. You see, in this little portion, we are confronted with a very dangerous condition. That's the first thing I want to highlight in the gospel tonight. There was a dangerous condition. Look at verse 34. "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." David tells of this incident. At some point when he's keeping his father's sheep, and the lion snatches the lamb away. And from David's words, we can only conclude that the lion at some point had the lamb in his jaws and was making off to a deserted place or location where he would slay the lamb, where he would devour it. And I'm saying to you that when the lamb was under the control and in the jaws and the mouth of the lion, that it was a very dangerous and perilous condition. its life was in imminent danger. When the lion had a spare moment in some secluded place, the lamb would be finished off and would be devoured. And isn't that a gospel sin? You see, in the Bible, the devil is likened unto the lion. I'm particularly emphasizing the lion, although David slew the bear as well. But we're emphasizing the lion tonight because in the Bible and in the New Testament, the devil himself is likened unto the lion. Didn't the Apostle Peter, didn't he speak in such terms of the devil in 1 Peter 5 and 8? He's speaking to Christians. Hi, when we're saved, we still need to be aware that there's a devil and he's seeking for our downfall. Not that he can ever have our souls. Not that the Christian will ever perish in hell. But he is seeking to destroy our testimony and ruin our lives. And Peter said, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, you have an adversary. The unconverted man or woman, you're not saved. You're a prey of the devil. Christian, you are saved. He's still seeking to destroy your life, though he can never destroy your soul. Peter tells us your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He's like the lion. He fears no one on this earth. He is the God of this world. And as the lion fears nothing before it, the devil is walking about. He is unrestrained in this age. He is not bound. He is not caged. He has not been locked away. He walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's the lion. And of course the Bible represents men and women as sheep or as lambs. Didn't Isaiah that language? He said, all we like sheep. Do you know, man likes to think of himself as powerful. Man likes to think of himself as one who can defend himself, as one who has great might and ability. And yet the Bible presents mankind as the lamb. One of the weakest, most docile animals in the animal kingdom. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And furthermore, the Bible not only depicts the devil as the lion and mankind as the sheep or the lamb that is in danger. The Bible presents mankind as one who is in danger of being the prey of the devil. We read of that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 26. Let me just read those words to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. These words, they are speaking of the man of God who is instructing sinners, and he's saying that they're a snare of the devil. And there you have the picture. The lamb, mankind, he's in the jaws of the lion. He's the prey of the devil. And the devil is ready and seeking to devour the souls of men and drag them down into hell. What a dangerous condition mankind finds themselves in without the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible depicts very graphically the devil's grip upon the unconverted soul. Let me turn you to a few references just to show that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're saying that the devil has the unconverted in his grip. And here's a verse or verses that show that and prove that, show something of the devil's influence over the souls of lost men and women. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Paul's speaking about the lost, those that are lost in sin, the unconverted. And he says, in whom? The god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil has blinded the minds of men and women in sin, born in sin into this world. Man's mind and his heart is darkened to the gospel, to their danger of perishing. The sheep has no consciousness of danger until it's far too late. Mankind is blind in his sin to the danger that awaits him. And it's in that context the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew 15 and 14 when he spoke of the religious leaders. They were blind leading the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. We're blind in our sin, born in sin. And the Lord says we're heading to the ditch, heading to the pit. And man will fall into that pit of hell if his mind is not enlightened and his heart is not enlightened by the glorious gospel, shining in by the power of the Spirit, bringing them to faith and repentance. The devil has blinded the minds of men and women. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Here's another verse that presents the lion's grip on the lamb that is the sinner. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 1 tells us, you hath he quickened. Paul speaking to Christians. He said, you have been quickened. You've been brought to spiritual life. But you were dead in trespasses and in sins. We're in time past. That's before you were saved. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. If you mark that verse, the course of this world is set by the devil. Do you see that? When those Ephesian believers were in their sin before they were saved, they lived their lives according to the dictates and according to the fashions and fads of this world. And who sets all of those things? According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now, right now, worketh in the children of disobedience. The devil has an influence upon the lives of men and women who are not converted. He hinders them from coming to Christ. He leads them in the ways of the world, to live by the principles of the world, to lust for the pleasures of the world, to long for the power of the world, to live for the world and ignore the world to come. And all the time he's leading men and women away from God and down to the pit. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 that the world passeth away and the lust thereof. The world one day will burn up with fire, and all those ungodly lusts and pleasures and the power of this world that is contrary to God. And men and women, the lesson is this. that if unconverted people live according to the course of this world and the dictates of the devil, if they remain in his jaws and under his influence, then they will perish with the world when it passeth away. That's the dangerous condition that men and women in their sin are in. And if you're not a Christian, that's the condition you are in even now. May the Lord awaken you and enlighten you to your need and to that perilous situation. I want you to turn back to 1 Samuel 17. I want you to see the second point tonight in the gospel picture that is set here. Not only a dangerous condition, but a dramatic conflict. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth." Isn't that wonderful? David could have taken the notion, it's only a lamb, and it's only one lamb, and I've the rest of the flock, and sure, the ewes will bring forth more lambs in time to come, and I'll not endanger myself, I'll not go after the one lamb. But no, David was moved with sympathy or compassion for the lamb. I went out after him. He was moved to go and seek to rescue the lamb. He couldn't stand idly by and watch the lion devour him. And in his heart, and then with love in his heart, he was moved to go and help. Yes, there was compassion that moved him in this conflict, but there was a conquest as a result of the conflict. Look at that verse 35 again. It tells us, "I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." David was victorious. The Lord enabled him with power akin to Samson's to slay the lion and to rescue and deliver the lamb. Let me say tonight that David is a picture and David is a type of the saving and redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was David's greater son. And in David's actions, we see a type and a foreshadowing of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the compassion the Lord had for the lost sheep. He told a parable to that end. He said if a shepherd had 99 sheep or of 100 sheep and he counted them and he realized that one is missing. He's 100 sheep and he counts them in and there's only 99. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness and he goes out to seek and he goes out to search for and he goes out to find and to rescue the sheep that had lost and gone astray. And in the darkness of the night was in danger of the lion or the bear or the wolf. He was moved with compassion. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He left the splendors of heaven. And he came to this sin-cursed world to seek and to save that which was lost. When you consider the Lord coming into this world and you consider who he came for, we are confronted with the compassion and the sympathy and the love that Jesus Christ had for sinners. And when we picture the Lamb, it's an individual. And men and women, we can say tonight, God loves individuals. Christ loves individuals. And that's why he left heaven to come and seek the one that was lost and was in danger of the devil's snare and the devil's destruction. But there was not only compassion, there was conquest. For when the Lord Jesus came into this world, he entered into conflict with the devil. It was foretold in the first gospel prophecy in Genesis 3 and the verse 15. We read how the seed of the woman, his heel would be bruised, but the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. There was a battle took place, and the woman's seed, the Lord Jesus, would be wounded in that battle. But he would conquer, and he would overcome, and he would defeat, and he would destroy the works of the devil. I preached in that text a number of weeks ago in the run-up to the Christmas season, 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I tell you, in Gethsemane, and then at Calvary, Jesus took on the devil. And Colossians tells us, chapter 2, that he made an open show, and that he spoiled principalities and powers. And there at the cross, though the devil bruised the Lord, Jesus Christ, by his death, and by his blood shedding, and by his sacrifice, he conquered and he destroyed the works of the devil, so that he could deliver men and women, boys and girls like you and me, from the jaws and the clutches and the danger of the devil. Oh, do you not see the great work that the Savior accomplished? He said, the prince of this world cometh, in the run-up to Calvary. The prince of this world cometh. And he came to Christ, and the Lord Jesus destroyed his works at Calvary. There's a wonderful verse in Hebrews chapter 2. And again, it's one of those verses that speak about the incarnation and the coming and the mission of the Lord Jesus into this world. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He took a human nature and a human body, but it was a sinless human nature and body, prepared in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost. He took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil had the power of death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. That's what makes death fearful. Sin. Facing God in your sin. And the devil brought sin into the world. And he tempted man and woman to sin. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they were plunged into that fearful state. How would they stand before God in their sin? The devil has that power over men and women that are unforgiven, that remain in their sin. Spent some time with the family over Christmas. Speaking to my father on Boxing Day, he was telling me of one of his customers in County Antrim. He's not a Christian. He told my father how just before Christmas, the start of December, he had to go out to Spain. This man's father had lived in Spain for a number of years. He was dying and got word that his father was not going to live. And he travelled out to Spain. And there he spent a little time with his father in the hospital before his father passed away. And he said, this man in County Antrim, he told my father, he says, David, I would never want to experience anything like it again. He said, my father, he kept crying, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. A fearful thing to go out into eternity without the Lord. He said it was terrible to witness and experience. Men and women, the devil has that power over men when they die in their sin. But the Lord Jesus, through his death, is able, look at verse 15 of Hebrews 2, to deliver them who through fear of death, you fear dying, you fear meeting God in your sin. Jesus died to deliver you from that fear of death. Through all their lifetime were subject to bondage. Men and women, the answer to the devil and his snares and his entrapments and the sting that he has in death is the work of Jesus Christ, and he conquered him at Calvary. The cross was no failure. The cross was God's victory for all who will trust in Jesus to deliver them from the power of the devil and from the power of death that will drag them down to hell. My friend, are you trusting in Christ? Is he your only hope and your only trust and your only plea for eternity? Oh, the Lord, in his conflict, has conquered the devil. Praise God. There's salvation, there's victory, there's deliverance through Christ. I want to close tonight, for I'm conscious of time, but I want you to see the third point. There's not only a dangerous condition and a dramatic conflict, there is a delightful conclusion. Look at verse 35 one last time in 1 Samuel 17. I went out after him and smote him, that's the lion, and delivered it, the lamb, out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Those words, delivered it out of his mouth. And I can picture that little lamb. And the lion drops the lamb to face David. And I don't know whether that little lamb was just paralyzed with fear. And its heart pounding faster than ever. But when David slew the lion and the bear, I know what David would have done. He would have picked that little lamb up in his arms. And he would have carried it home. You know, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for all those who trust in him. Safe in the arms of Jesus. We sing it. We're going to sing it in a minute. But you know, there's a lovely verse in Isaiah 40. And I'm not turning to it for time's sake. But in Isaiah 40 verse 11, it tells us that the Lord Jesus, as the shepherd, he carries in his arms the little lambs. Safe, secure, and sheltered in the arms of the shepherd was the lamb. And every child of God, everyone that's trusting in the Lord for their salvation, they're safe in the arms of Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. You're in the arms of the Lord when you're saved. No man, no demonic power, the devil himself will never pluck you out of his arms. Are you safe in the arms of Jesus? I want to close, and I'm asking you this question as we close. Are you safe in the arms of Jesus? Or tonight are you in the jaws of the lion? If you're not a Christian, friend, you're in the jaws of the lion. If you're saved and trusting in him, you're in the arms of Jesus. Which is it? And tonight, if you're still in the jaws of the lion, we'd love to point you to the Lord and show you how you can be safe in the arms of Jesus.